This is a program called What's Your Story, where usually, normally, we talk to one or maybe two persons about where they were born, how they grew up, and what the hell they think they're doing here in Apollo Bay. Well, we might do a bit of that because with our guests tonight, but there is not just one of them, not just two of them. No, folk, we have three. We have David, Helen, and
Adrian
in the studio. And they're here, well, they're here because they live in Apollo Bay, that's for sure. So we might ask them a little bit about that. But they have a bit of a musical ambition, and they also have a fourth member who's not well tonight, and his name is
John.
So we can talk about that in, well, first of all, so who's the leader of the group? David Swan. Hello, David.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Is that formal enough?
Well, no one's spoken to me like that for a long time, I must say. Oh, I think it was a waiter somewhere.
Just enjoy it while you can, because it doesn't happen often.
So how long have you been in the Bay, David?
Coming up to 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you came here because you took one look and fell in love?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we came down here for a holiday in a camper van, which we didn't usually go camping in because we're not campers, and drove into, go to Pisces. I booked into there. And on the way into the town, to get some supplies, I said, we're going to live here one day, and 12 months later we did.
There you were.
There you go.
Same for you, Helen?
Sort of similar. I was looking after my elderly father with Alzheimer's at home for the 5-year period, and obviously throughout that time I needed some breaks. Just into my head popped Apollo Bay. So I came down here with my daughter and got the nurses into Dad, so he was fine at home, and off we trot, and we had about a 10-day stint, and over the 5 years coming down in all the different seasons, I suddenly thought, wow, this is where I belong.
Indeed.
So, yeah, so after my father passed away and got my daughter through her education, I decided I'd been looking after people in nursing all my life. And perhaps now, finally, it was time for me. So off I, big gamble, sold my house, jumped off the mountain, didn't know whether I would fall flat in my face or whether I'd, you know, be okay, a woman on her own, a bit scary. But I just had all these amazing people around me that helped me through. You know, my builder was wonderful, Tim Haysman from Tonto Homes. He was terrific. My bank manager grew up in Apollo Bay. He was a Costin from Costin Street.
Okay.
And, you know, it just as time went on, I just realised, wow, you know, I'm really being looked after here. So it was still scary, still hard. But I sort of had this philosophy, if you don't take risks in life, you'll just never know.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you don't want to die wondering.
No.
So has music always been a big part of your life?
Well, yeah, if I think back to primary school, I was a very, you know, what you'd call naughty, I suppose, child in school. And from the very young age in grade
that's
one...
That's also a common denominator about Apollo Bay, let me tell you.
Oh, is it all good? I fit in. Cool. I would be put out of the classroom for being so naughty, but then I'd sing, and I'd sing so loud I'd disrupt every class around me. So it was just probably in my DNA to sing. But my father was a child performer around these areas. He was born in Warrnambool and used to do all around this area, Camperdown and all sorts of areas, and won all these awards and just loved it. But he had this horrible idea, probably because he was a male, and when his voice broke finally, I don't think he got the original voice he already had that he, you know, winning all this stuff with. So he decided that I wasn't allowed to sing till I was 17.
Oh, wow.
So I had all these ambitions. I was watching Young Talent Time on television thinking, yes, that's me up there. And I wasn't allowed to do any of it.
Wow.
So I had to put it all on hold until I turned the magic figure of 17.
Wow. And then the box opened with a vengeance, I'll bet.
Well, yeah, not the way I would like, perhaps, but that's how things happen in life, isn't it? I was the first person in Victoria to do singing as a subject. So that meant that my parents had never, even though they wouldn't let me sing, taught me theory. So I had to teach myself 6 years of theory in 1 year. And so I've got bits here and there. Then I sort of doing the singing subjects. When you do it as a subject, you've got to do classical stuff, which I just didn't like and didn't want to do. Sort of fell in love with it, but... never was really my passion, I must say.
Okay.
But I've got this unusual voice that has a sort of a purity to it, I suppose, and it did lend itself to classical. And when I did finally have tuition with my voice, a lot of the trainers sort of, teachers sort of said, well, you're one in a million. We haven't had to undo anything. You've got no bad habits, you know. so in that respect, that was helpful, I suppose. It helped me progress further and quicker, I suppose.
And we might just swing the microphone across to Adrian. Can't let him get away with sitting there quietly for too long. So, Adrian, how long have you been in the Bay?
I've been in the Bay now for coming on 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you, again, came here because you fell in love with the place, or...?
I'm coming for living here for 10 years, but I've been coming to the Bay now for 38, 39 years. I've been married for 39 years. And, I married a girl who was, well, I suppose almost a local. I think she was born in Beach Forest, so you still can't be called as a local, I believe.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
I know. We Johnny Come Latelys can call that local.
Well, why not? Well, I call her a local, so, yeah, that's good.
And music in your life, how did that come to
be? I've always loved to sing. Always loved to sing from the day from the day I was born, I suppose. But as soon as I knew I was alive and we had a radiogram, I used to sing along with all the records my brothers used to have back in the old rock and roll stuff with Johnny O'Keefe, Elvis Presley, Roy Orbison, Buddy Holly.
You know, Johnny O'Keefe could barely hold a tune.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Yes.
I've spoken to some recording engineers who've recorded him, and they would often do it line by line because they had no auto-tune back in those days.
Well, that's right. And funnily enough, I saw an interview that he was doing one day, and he said after one of his accidents, he had to retrain himself to sing whatever his capabilities of singing was in a day, and he learned to listen to himself while he was singing. And I've always heard that. Yes. It's amazing, isn't it?
Singing 1A, I think.
Yes.
And how did this Seekers thing come about? How did you come to be part of this?
For me to be part of it, I was at home one day and David was driving past my place one day. Now, we tried to set up one day a rock and roll band, which we sort of didn't get. It didn't sort of happen due to, I think, just varying musicians couldn't quite get in with us or we couldn't with them. I don't know how it sort of, why it didn't work.
Find a drummer, that's why we couldn't do it.
Oh, right, okay. But it was progressing along. But anyway, that sort of faded away. And David was driving past my place one day because he's been looking for somebody to play some rhythm along. So he thought, I'll come and ask me. And I said, I'll come and have a look at it. And haven't looked back since.
And you were a fan of the band in the day?
A fan
of the band, the Seekers?
Oh, Seekers. Oh, I've always loved Seekers, yes. Seekers play some great music. They really do.
It'd be un-Australian not to like Seekers.
Yes,
music,
I think you're right on that one, yeah.
He'll be sent to an island somewhere.
But they are an important part of our history. They make some beautiful music. They really do.
Indeed.
So what was the inspiration, David? Did it start with you?
It actually started with Helen, I suppose, or we were talking about it because we're both in the Ukaholics.
Yep.
And I know we've done a few Seekers numbers in the Ukaholics, and we started thinking, oh, it'd be nice to do a Seekers tribute band. And then we just sort of threw it together, and John was on board. He liked the idea. And then once we got Adrian on board, we had our four.
Yep.
And then we just sort of started moving towards where we wanted to go.
So is it musically challenging, Helen?
You have to watch that we're a tribute band. We're not a copy band. We still need... The tricky part is to bring yourself to it. Not so tricky as... But not to be caught up, I suppose, in thinking that you can replicate that sound. You can't, and you never will. And we really don't want to. Our focus is to be musicians in our own right and also together, linked together, so that we bring this sound that is the best. But when we did start having a look at the Seegers, it's really interesting how clever they were. When you look at their mixing, they hold Judith quite dominant in their mixing.
Yes, indeed.
And the guys are sort of behind that with beautiful harmonies. So it sounds like Judith's soloing, you know, the whole way through it, but she's not. And they have a pattern that they sort of follow when she sings and when the others sing. So, yeah, it is a beautiful sound. Adrian's quite right. You know, it is part of our history, and it's something that we thought bringing to the Bay would be lovely for people. Obviously, there's people out there that mightn't agree with that. They mightn't like the Seegers. But, you know, that's okay. You know, we've got room for all of us.
I don't think there's anything to dislike about the Seegers. I think you can maybe not get so excited about them.
Yeah.
But there's a great deal of joy in the music generally, isn't there?
There is.
Always uplifting.
Yeah, very uplifting. And, I mean, David's done and Adrian and John, they've done a great job because, you know, they hadn't played this music before. So it means they've had to take on instruments that they potentially haven't had before. Like David's picked up the mandolin and the banjo, as well as his guitar, more than he used to play it a lot. But, you know, then we've been doing the Ukaholics for a while, so not as much. But now he's back into that. So picking up skills, wonderful to see the growth of the group over our rehearsal time. We've started with, you know, small sort of abilities, and now we're growing, and that's always exciting.
Mm. Well, that's fantastic. Now the band is called Future Road, that's an album called Future Road, and I've just queued up the track Future Road. Should we play that?
Why not? Great idea.
Now? This is 3ABR, a program called What's Your Story, where we talk to people about how they got to Apollo Bay and what they're doing when they're here. And we're talking to Future Road, a Seegers tribute band newly formed by some, well, not so recently formed musicians on 3ABR. Gee, I reckon you could probably put a Jew's harp in the end of that.
That's a thought.
Adrian, you've been knocking around rock and roll bands for a long time. Where did you start? Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I suppose band plural isn't really applicable to me because the way it started for me is my younger brother and I, we got together many years ago with a homemade drum, which was just a cardboard box with a bit of plastic stretched over it, and I had an old acoustic guitar which you could hardly put the strings down on, and that's how we started to learn. He used to bash at home and I used to strum together and we'd just muck around in the early days. And as you are well aware, when you're trying to create a band, it's just so hard to find people who are compatible with yourself and the way you think. And we tried different people and they tried us, but nothing ever really worked. So as time went on, I know I don't really remember how it actually started, but we got together with another guy called Andrew, and he said, well, let's just see what happens. So we got together with a rhythm guitar, bass guitar, and a drum kit by this time, and we started to practice, and then we started putting songs together, and we said, well, let's form a band. So we did. And I think we practiced for about 12 months till we got a lot of songs together, and then my younger brother teed up an agent, and we started to work. Our first gig was at the Carlton Social Club, I think it was called in those days, and we were terrified. It was absolutely amazing, and I can still recall the feeling on the day of when we did our first gig. And nervous piddles, man. Unbelievable. But we did our first bracket of six numbers, and our repertoire was about 15 to 20. But we did our first repertoire of our first gig, rather, and our first set, and we came back, and we were high as kites. It was absolutely fantastic. And all the hard work that we did and put together paid off. And we were together for about 20 years, just mucking around. Wasn't a career for such a thing, but we used to play once a month or something like that at a paid gig, and we used to do cabarets, weddings, birthday parties and things like that. And, we loved it.
So what was the band called?
Lodi. Yeah, after Croons. We loved Croons Clear
Revival. Yeah, great band. Yeah.
People used to call it Luddy and all that sort of things. But, Lodi.
So this is you were playing in the 70s and what sort of time? 70s and 80s?
Late 60s? Yes, 70s and 80s.
70s, 80s, yeah. Okay. Yes, the days when, it was good fun.
Absolutely.
Rock and roll was, and live music was very much alive, and lots of Australian bands having a crack one way or another.
Yeah, always. There were millions of bands around. Yeah, years ago, early days, you couldn't get a guitar anywhere or a drum set, but now people are throwing them out in the street.
it's
amazing.
And everyone's got the software now, you see.
That's right. Yes, yes. But then, funny enough, that doesn't sound the same. You still have a three-piece live band, and it still sounds better than all the other stuff, I reckon.
Yeah, indeed. Well, yeah. That's it's certainly different. I've learnt that it's, to accept that just because I think it's better doesn't mean that other little heads, young heads.
It is. We have to go with the times.
Well, we do. Yeah, give them a little spot. Mm. But look, any live performance is what cuts the mustard, isn't it? From in any genre, anywhere, however fabulous the recorded event is or the video, when you sit in a chair and someone or a group of people walk on stage, there's a moment when it lights up and you're in the hands of people that know what they're doing, and it's a delight. And any live performance where people really enjoy what they're doing and know what they're doing.
That's right.
It's generally
indeed.
It's a bit sad when it's not happening though.
Yes, it is.
And those moments do occur.
Indeed.
And one thing a bit further on that is that this gig that we'll be doing in the future very soon is that before being with Lodi, it was a dance band. We should get up on stage and people would dance, a wedding or whatever. It was all the function. But this, what we're doing now, for me, is terrifying to a certain degree because we're performers this time.
Yep.
We're going to be upstage and people will be sitting down and watching us.
Mm. And they'll be thinking about the time they saw the Seekers at somewhere or other.
Yes. So, we're really looking forward to it.
So you get bravery awards at the end of the show, do you?
Yeah, I think it's called a scotch.
So tell us about the first gig, David.
The first gig will be our debut performance. We'll be at the RSL on Mother's Day, which is the 10th, is it not? Or is it the 8th of... No, it's the 8th, I think.
8th of May. Yep.
We're doing a set of five numbers for our first set. Somewhere around the 4 o'clock mark is what we're aiming at.
Okay.
Just to allow the throng of audience members to come and be seated.
Yeah. And are you rattling a tin, or is there a cover price? Or
No, it's free.
Okay.
No, it's standard music afternoon at the RSL.
Okay.
Second Sunday of the month. It's on every second Sunday of the month.
Okay.
No cover charge. No, you just walk in. Usually they have finger food for a gold coin donation.
Yep.
Drinks at bar prices as standard. All right. It's just people getting up, having a bit of fun, doing a bit of entertaining, and just getting together and having a good time.
And on Mother's Day, no better place to take your mum.
Indeed.
Yeah. Let's play a little more Seekers and then come back and see what happens after that. This is 3ABR Community Radio in Apollo Bay. There's a new world somewhere they call the Promised Land. Now, we're saying nothing about New Zealand. nothing whatsoever.
We can't.
Well, that was actually recorded in New Zealand, I think, that concert, wasn't it? That was.
And there's a lot of farmers there.
Indeed. Oh, dear. It's extraordinary how successful they were and how long it kept going, because it didn't really, it didn't stop, did it? They kept being Australia's darlings.
That particular song, in fact, was released on February 15th, 1965.
Mm. Wow.
And that just shows you the longevity of that sort of music.
Mm. Ancient history.
However, I do think they spent more time, correct me if I'm wrong, in their reunion phase.
Oh, they did.
Than they did in their actual initial phase.
Okay.
Which is really interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. So what else should we talk about? What are you doing in the Bay now, Helen, other than singing in the Seekers band?
I'm a retired nurse from 35 years. So unfortunately due to ill health, so I'm just came down here to heal, improve my health. Mm. And so it's wonderful to find music again. I used to be involved quite heavily in music, so it's lovely that I've got the opportunity to revisit perhaps lost opportunities, perhaps lost time for me and expressing myself through music. So really happy.
So are you a member of the choir here in Napoli?
No, I was a member of the choir. It's just not my scene, so I didn't continue.
All right.
Yeah.
And David, did you ever have any thoughts about the choir?
I also was in the choir for a short period of time.
Yep.
But I ended up devoting more time to the Yougaholics, so it sort of took over.
So how did the Yougaholics come about and why?
Oh, there's a story unto its own. The not long after I got here in 6 years ago now, there was an ad in the news sheet saying anybody wants to learn ukulele, turn up at the youth hall on a such and given date. And although I'd already learnt ukulele before and I'd played it in Melbourne and overseas, to the little island in Fiji that I got inspired from, I thought, I'll come along and help at least the person who's teaching. And it happened to be a young lady from Ballarat who was coming down. But in the end, she didn't come down. Nobody turned up except myself and one other. Mm. So I started teaching him. Mm. And although he didn't join the Yougaholics at that stage, he did join Nuclear Blast, which is another band that I was in. I went round to Mara Warne to see why nobody turned up. And Janice Livesey said, do you know how to play ukulele? I said, yeah, sort of. Good, you're the teacher now. So I found myself being the leader of a 10-strong learners group. Mm. And we just called ourselves the Otway Yougaholics.
Yep.
And it went on from there.
And do any of you play music at Mara Warne, go down to the old folks and lighten up their days?
To Pengilly.
Pengilly House, yeah.
We're actually starting that next month. Mm. The first Thursday, which is our normal practice day, we will be doing that at Pengilly, Laura Pengilly.
Okay. Mm. And you, did you have lessons as a kid? Were you?
I started learning music. I was in the Salvation Army when I was a child, and started learning brass instruments. Mm. Played them until I was about 21 or so.
Yep.
Have spent time in a Highland pipe band as a drummer.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
I love a good island pipe band.
Bit of guitar here and there and wrote a few songs, all that sort of stuff. Mm. So it's been a many varied experience over the years. One I'd never lose sight of. It's been a great time.
Yeah, it's... however well you play or however well you listen... the music you love touches places that,
Definitely.
That really, and it kind of defies talking about, really, doesn't it? It's the look on someone's face a bit more than...
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing when you are singing and you can see you've moved someone. Mm. I know over my career, I started over in Adelaide. I was nursing here. I did finish my nursing. Mm. And my nursing girlfriend said, come with us. We're going to Scotland to do our midwifery. And I went, okay. But my father had teed up an audition with James Christensen, who at that stage was one of Australia's top teachers. Mm. And so we drove over, finished shift, drove overnight, pulled up at the ABC in Adelaide and... went in and the gruffest man, and threw my music around the room. I sort of said, I've brought this music to sing, just threw it across the room. Mm. Said, I'm not listening to that, and just played these exercises on the piano and said, sing this, sing that, and I thought, oh! And it's fascinating when your brain takes over and you don't have time to consciously organise anything.
Yep.
You just... going off raw or whatever. Mm. So I managed to pull that off and he said, look, I don't teach only teach professionals. I don't teach non-professional people. But he said, I'm going to take you on.
Okay.
So that was a great opportunity. Yeah. So I didn't go to Scotland. I went. I drove over to Adelaide and didn't know a soul and lived with a family from a church allied situation and for 12 months until I sort of found my feet a bit more. And did my nursing at the same time, so if there was any shows coming into town, I could still do anything coming into town as well as doing my shift work. So it worked. It worked quite well. So, yeah, so then he handpicked me to be part of the ABC Singers. So I think there was five of us, and it was daunting because they were absolute incredible musicians, and the timing of some of the work we did was just excruciatingly difficult. And I was just singing by ear, basically. So, you know, I'd walk out from the studios after a recording session with sweat sort of, you know, right down under my arms. But a really good learning experience. And then as that sort of moved on, that was for years, I, you know, life situations came in the way. And I sort of gave up singing, and which was a real shame. So, yeah, so now for me to be able to be part of this, and David fixed my washing machine, and that's how I got into the Ukaholics. He came one day and helped me out. Such a charming man.
Singing into the bowl. Was he?
Oh, look, he was just wonderful, you know, just wonderful.
Always got a ukulele in the toolbox.
Exactly, so. Brought his ukulele in from the van and played me a few things. I thought, oh, this would be really good for my daughter. But she didn't want to do it, and I thought, maybe it's about me. So, you know, he told me to come along, so I came along eventually. And when I heard them en masse, I just fell in love. I just thought, wow, that's a beautiful sound.
Yeah, fantastic. Adrian, any last words?
No, not really for me. No, I think it's just music is just our lives. I think the way we've been talking about it is that music really does touch us as well as it touches other people. And I'm sure there's many a people out there listening who has a favourite song or has a song that triggers a memory of things that came past, maybe the first girlfriend, the first boyfriend, the first date, something like that. There is so many beautiful songs out there that trigger these wonderful memories.
The other thing about seeing, I used to go a lot to the Continental in Melbourne when it was around. It's a small room. It was great. And I love seeing people in smaller rooms. But there's a point when, and it doesn't happen with all of them, but when a person, an artist will walk out on the stage and you'll look and you'll think, is that them? Is that, you know, they kind of look a bit, you're a bit disappointed, really. and then they start. And then anything that they look like dissolves away. And suddenly you're enchanted, you know. You're just in the moment with them, and away it goes. And when it's a small room, you do get that. You do get the sense that this person is, you know. And at the end, I remember seeing... saw Eric Bibb at the Corner Hotel, and I'm not one to stand at the side of the stage and wave and stuff, but as we were leaving, it was a small place, I literally bumped into him. He just was coming the other way, and we made body contact, and so I looked up and I said, "Oh, look, it was a real privilege to see you perform tonight." And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, "Oh no, the privilege was all mine," you know, and it was like, you know, there was no bullshit in any of that, you know. It's just quite extraordinary. We might get any and all of you back individually to talk more in more detail about your personal stories, which is what's your story is really all about. But for the meantime, we'll plug Mother's Day at the RSL, 4 o'clock,
indeed.
May the 8th.
Thank you. It actually starts at about 2:30, the music afternoon itself. And lots of other performers there as well.
Yep.
Which there's some great talent in Apollo Bay. Fantastic talent, in fact.
Grab your mum and come along.
Indeed, yeah. Okay. Everybody's welcoming. You'll feel right at home, and there's no pretension anywhere. You know, it's just a great atmosphere.
Well, it's Apollo Bay. We deal with pretense very quickly.
Oh, indeed, we do.
We do. Yes.
Stamp it out.
A little more seekers. Thanks for coming in, team.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Thank you.